Blog Talk Radio.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. Something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way. And holla, holla, holla up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all." Kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And how holla, 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 with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. Ground to dig and worms to scratch. That's a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. 'Cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done. Nobody at all. So quiet yourself. Nobody here but us. They kind of point that gun the other way. And how am I?
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, RFM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Series.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, welcome again. I've been away for a week, and it was sort of nice, stressless.
Good.
But I did have some tests at the doctor's hospital, and things are good. And
that's a blessing.
I was very well treated. That's not true. I got there at 6 in the morning, and, well, after 12 hours of abuse, I was allowed to go home. I sort of had what they call a cardiac catheter, where they put a wire up to your heart and take pictures. And the worst part of the whole day, and incidentally, whatever was there is gone, in the sense that any blockage was overdone with side capillaries that grow and go around it. So that was the good news, that there hasn't been much change in 5 years. The worst part of that whole procedure is that you have to lay flat on your back for 6 hours. And you would think that would be easy. That was the toughest part of the whole day, to lay just flat on your back. And then what happens is a nurse comes in, he's a weightlifter, and at the place where they insert the wire into the artery, he placed his knuckle or fist and pressed on that spot for 6 minutes. Painful, very painful.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was ouch. So, in the meantime, we were able to Thursday and Friday and over the weekend keep up with what's going on here in the city of Modesto, Stanislaus County. And I thought we could start with what's going to be happening tomorrow night at the Modesto City Council meeting. I don't know, what's the number of the agenda, Dave? We'll be discussing this today and tomorrow.
I think it's one of two, because all the rest is consent.
okay, and we really do want to also pay attention to some things on the consent agenda. But for tomorrow night, the city of Modesto will have on its agenda the single audit report for the year ended June 30th, 2018. And it claims to be an independent report. And, of course, it starts out with the paragraph that starts out in all audits that here's what we're reporting, and it's in compliance with other matters, but the audit of the financial statements performed in accordance with, you know, government auditing standards. Here's a report, but we're not responsible for anything that's in it. Well, if the auditor isn't responsible, who is?
I think that goes back to, we audit the paperwork that you give us, so we in no way say that the paperwork you give us is correct. We're just auditing based on what the information we've been provided. CPAs do that as well.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try and make some heads or tails of what they're going to be talking about tomorrow night at 5:30. So, is there anything more important on TV at 5:30 tomorrow than the council meeting?
I won't miss it.
Okay. All right. So we'll be watching. Another thing that I've been thinking about for a couple of weeks now is the I think it was the January 22nd City Council meeting. We have a clip of the behavior of, and we're going to be talking about the audit here in a little minute, but we've got a little time to let Mr. Cecil Russell know what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night so he can seek advice on whether or not he wants to reply to what I will be telling the City Council tomorrow their public comment period. The Council on that date, on the 22nd, approved an expenditure of $50,000 addition to the $102,000 that they already approved of to create an independent Convention and Visitors Bureau. This bureau now is it's been done before. It was done, I think, the first year I was mayor. So there was one created 20 years ago that their contract with the city was allowed to lapse, and the city took over the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and the money that comes in with that organization. The Convention and Visitors Bureau is financed by what they call the transient occupancy tax. They don't call that anymore. There's some flowery...
Oh, it's not the TOT tax anymore.
No.
Okay.
That sounds crude. it has the word tax in it.
Oh, there you go.
Get rid of that. No. You, I remember Councilwoman Kenny Friedman had an expression when she charged staff to go get more money. She used to call it revenue enhancement. I thought that was my favorite term because I knew what revenue enhancement meant. It meant fees and taxes. But she liked that term. Anyhow, the Convention and Visitors Bureau money comes from that tax, and people say, well, I always thought that there wasn't much concentration on the fiduciary responsibility of the TOT tax, because it could have been argued, well, it's not really our money, it's strangers' money. Yeah, all these strangers, visitors that come to town, stay in our motels, our hotels, pay this tax. So really, we're getting the money from the visitors and not the residents.
The best place to get it, I guess.
So they felt freer to spend it the way they wanted. Well, I took this tax, or this creation of a new Convention and Visitors Bureau, which was became a non-profit once again. It had been run by city employees. Jennifer Mullen, who headed the Independent Convention and Visitors Bureau, worked very hard on that and did a very good job, was doing that when she was an employee of the city.
Will she have something to do with the new organization?
Yes. Yes, okay. Supposedly.
Good.
It's not a good deal for her. With the city, she had benefits, and I don't know, as an employee of this new nonprofit, what kind of benefits she would have, or if she would even have a job, because Todd Aronson, a former city council candidate, I think he lost to Dave Lopez. I think so. In any event, Todd is going to be in charge of the new Convention and Visitors Bureau. Well, when they made that presentation, I explained to the board, to the city council, a little history of what happened in 2001. Can we play that? Do we have 10 minutes? That
yes,
would
I
be
do.
Five. It would be my 5 minutes. And then Cecil rose to the occasion and, quote, against advice, he responded to what I had to say about the Convention and Visitors Bureau. So let's do that now. Lori mentioned that this was the restoration of a contract. 20 years ago, as mayor of this city, we discovered that the CVB and the Chamber of Commerce shared office space, same office that Cecil Russell occupies now. And at that time, we also discovered that we had the chamber being subsidized quite highly. And during my term, I attempted very much to lower that subsidy to the Chamber of Commerce. Chambers financed by business people. They don't have to be in business. It could be a social club, too. But the tax dollars that was going to the CVB, that had to be responsibly spent. So I suggested to Jack Crist that perhaps we should separate them. And Jack said that might be difficult. So I think they'll do it to avoid embarrassment. So each council member appointed someone to this CVB, and it became independent. The other thing about the CVB financing, the tax money came from the TOT tax, and this money became a honeypot that everybody wanted. You know, everybody said, gee, we'd like to get our hands on that, whether it was the Gallo Foundation or other nonprofits. The contract went along, and then, for some reason, it was not renewed, and you took it over. Now, we need some figures. And hopefully by tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we can be able to present more of those figures on the performance of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. I noticed that Laurie's presentation was devoid of what's wrong with the CVB now. We're outsourcing our government. Domo is an example of handing it over. You know, the saying is, you want to get rich, form a nonprofit and write your own check. Now, how much does it cost to run the CVB? Why was it extinguished in the first place? Jennifer Mullins was running that, and I understand. I was here one night, the praise that was heaped, because she did a good job. So now, Mr. Aronson, a former city council candidate, and apparently is in the business, is proposing that he take that over. And in some respects, this is a little bit like the United Cerebral Palsy issue. Do you employ anybody anymore, or do you continually go to consultants and pay more? I don't want to get off the subject, but you do have a city attorney who's a consultant. Okay? You tried to pass him off as an employee one time, but he's got an open contract. Now, what's the difference between what this city was budgeting for the CVB and now you want to make it independent? How much money do you save for the taxpayers? So this is a trend that's going on and on. I'd like to invite you. We want to caution that the show is recorded. We have many tapes of people who have come and spoken, board of supervisors, congressional candidates, and we think the city should have a place where citizens can come forward. All I want is that we talk about this before you do it. The chances of it not happening are a little less. Do you have any questions? You know enough about this. Okay. Thank you for your attention. And I'd like to see some figures, some data. And we'll be asking for figures and data and transparency in every show we produce. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have anybody else from the public wishing to speak on this item?
You know, the person that was just up here says that he was mayor. And the truth is, he was. Before he was mayor, I was a board member, incoming chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. Had been on the board for a number of years. And I became chairman. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story. You know, the person who was just up here loves to tell you about the backstory. And I hate to use the term fake news. But I've listened to his derogatory remarks about the chamber and about me personally. I became chairman of the board. The CVB was housed in the same unit as the chamber, had been for some time. Now, I want to give you a history lesson. It had its own board. It had its own P&L. It had on its board, they were appointed by the city council. They had to have their P&L audited, not only by an independent auditor, but also by the city. The Chamber of Commerce charged for their rent, for all the equipment, everything they did, $25,000. It's been said by the person that was here that the chamber stole $25,000 a year. That's absolutely an untruth. And frankly, I'll tell you, should be charged with libel. Because there's nothing further from the truth. $25,000, and in his vendetta, he swore to take the CVB away from the chamber like it was some big deal. It was a big deal. Because majority of Chamber of Commerce's and CVBs occupy the same place. Because when people come into a community, they go to either of those places to ask about what's going on in the city. So it was moved, and it was moved over to the DoubleTree. Go back and look at how much it cost the CVB to be in those quarters and for all of the equipment and everything that they had to do year in and year out. I'll guarantee you it was twice as much, if not three times as much, as what was the chamber was charging the CVB. Now, I'm only up here to kind of set the record straight. The untruths will continue. I support the direction that this council is going on today to, I'm going to say, reinvent the CVB. I've read the white paper, and it's really well done. And it advances the cause of the city. It advances the cause of hospitality in this community, which is really all we should be concerned about. So hopefully you'll consider the truths that I mentioned. It's the first time I've ever publicly refuted those claims. I've been told not to, because you don't want to give any credence whatsoever to a lie. But frankly, I can't sit here time and time again and for my own reputation to be impugned, and the reputation of a great organization in this community to be impugned by someone that I have absolutely no respect for. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Sabatino, you've had your time. Mr. Sabatino, you've had
Mayor,
your time.
Mayor, this now involves your city.
Mr. Sabatino,
I've been accused of libel, Mayor. I have a right to respond to a public comment.
No.
Okay.
Chief.
He's opened a can of worms. And we will go 846-1814.
I mean, you've had your time.
Yeah.
I need to
yeah.
step away from the mic.
A little too much tonight, Carmen.
Way too much.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Can I talk?
Yeah, we're done.
I don't have these. These colluders, and we're going to start with that. You know, we have a city council that allows this stuff to happen. They were elected to be the stewards of the city's assets, including the money. And yet, instead of reacting to me right after Cecil Russell's speech, I'm calling it I'm not a crook speech. Well, Mr. Russell, I don't know where you got the $25,000 figure, because we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, gee, you only charge the CVB for paperclips, rent, use of machinery,
And you mentioned a P&L. Well, once again, calling me a liar, threatening me with libel, accusing me of a vendetta. Mr. Russell, I am Italian, but I don't go around with vendettas. I just say what you're doing. I tell you and I tell the council the truth. And your response is that my motive is a vendetta. For what? What is this quote vendetta for? What did you do to me personally? I didn't attack you personally. I just said what you were doing. Why would it be a personal attack, as you describe it? So, I guess it could be all simplified. If I simply say to you, Mr. Russell, that if I'm a liar, if I'm telling a lie here, you have nothing to worry about. And whoever advised you not to respond to me was giving you good advice. I said, well, gee, ignore him. And over at the B, they said, you don't, don't print any letters to the editor. Don't ignore him. Because we don't have any way to respond to him. Him being me. So, Mr. Russell, if I'm lying, keep quiet. What have you got to worry about? But if I'm not lying, and I'm not, since I'm telling the truth, and I am, then you do have something to worry about. And quite frankly, I would never ask you for an apology. But I would ask that there be an investigation. Let's get an audit. Let's get the P&L. And let's not have you and the council be content that, oh, this happened a long time ago. Forget it. So what was my motive? And Mr. Russell, we should have that investigation. And since you tried to defend it, continue your defense. Let's see the P&L. And let's interview all of the good people. During the 4 years I was mayor, who came forward and demanded change. Change that people of power and means want. Okay, so Dave, tomorrow night we've got the auditor report, and we will be asking, we have a public records request ready to present tomorrow night, for the financial audit of the Chamber of Commerce. Not only past, but what is happening right now. Because we can learn past. We can change. Talk to you tomorrow at 11. Thanks for listening.
Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself. Stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us.